あと、部屋は明るくして、テレビから3メートルは離れて見上がってください。
Heading and sliding comfortably into middle age, it's Anime Diet Radio episode number 34. I'm your host from Pasadena, California, Michael Huang, where it's nice and sunny outside and I've finally gotten over my stomach flu.
And this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei, where you can get the Blu-ray disc special edition of ex-president Chen Gone Wild with his special signature. And if you're in jail, he'll service you too.
And this is Jeremy from Redondo Beach that has absolutely nothing to say after Ray's intro.
Oh, God!
You have to be a little bit familiar with Taiwanese politics to understand that. But that's... In either case, we've got a fairly typical but yet untypically funny episode for you this time. We've got three.
That's it, evolve many shots?
Actually, it does involve things tangentially related to money shots, yummy. At least in some of the news items, apparently, that we got over here. It's actually more like the sort of things otaku will do in order to perhaps, I don't know how to put it exactly. They would be having money shots, but I'm not so sure there would be anybody on the receiving end, if you know what I mean.
God damn it!
I don't know. Listening to you talk about that, Mike, is just awkward. I don't know how to tell you. It just makes me tense, Mike. I don't know. Sorry.
I'm going to San Francisco again.
Maybe in May. Maybe for Fanime, actually. Yeah. We'll see. It depends on my work schedule, you know. And so, But that is actually sort of in the works as in our Anime Diet's quest to become the ultimate con reporting franchise. So I'll have to see again what the situation will be at that time. In either case, we do have three anime-related news items today. Woohoo!
Wow.
I think this is the first in quite a long time, quite frankly. But
yeah, before we were just sellouts.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't
try to get too many listeners. That's why we were doing these things.
Yeah, that and I don't know, maybe just last season and with the economy and everything, I think anime news was just completely non-existent.
Well, not funny anime news in either case.
Funny anime news.
Right.
Yeah, but nobody wants to hear about that just, boring, non-funny business crap.
Yeah. Yeah, not in this particular climate anyway, right? So,
exactly. We're here to bring some laughter and mirth to your otherwise meaningless and senseless otaku lives.
That's right.
Wait, is that a backwards, backhanded?
Yeah. Please don't take that. Please don't take that personally. All those who comment on our particular episode there, who have been expressing their love for our show. That's
oh, come on. We're all otakus. We all know we have no lives. Come on. We're all in the same boat. Who are we kidding? We're doing a podcast on anime. We're such anime fans, we drink a podcast on anime.
And we run one of the big sites. Yes, indeed. And we go to conventions and we put on
and
panels.
You all drink tentacle grapes. Now, can we move on, please?
And we have an all-time record for the number of mailbag items that we have this time. I think a total of 5 to get through, including some that just came today. And finally, we have a roundtable, again, actually about an anime for a change.
Wow.
So yes, this is actually Anime Diet Radio for a change.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so, why don't we go ahead and move on to our first anime-related news item.
Whoa.
Well, this news item comes from Anime News Network, and I don't know how long it's actually been since we've used Anime News Network as a news source, quite frankly.
Whoa.
Yeah, indeed. And that definitely deserves a whoa, because yes, this is about yet again the live action Keanu Reeves helmed Cowboy Bebop. Apparently Sunrise does actually have an escape clause in this particular project. Apparently, according to the executive in charge over there, Kenji Uchida, he's the president of Sunrise, he says that it actually allows them to assert some quality control. Quote, if the script is terrible, the live-action film adaptation will not be approved.
Whoa.
And
yes.
The story goes on to say that actually this project would not have happened if Keanu Reeves had not, in fact, personally gone to Japan and personally lobbied for this project to take place. And so, yeah.
I think this is why he said, "President, I know anime."
Well, he certainly claims to know anime quite a bit. And yeah, Kenji Uchida said that it would not have been made without him. And apparently that the negotiations with 20th Century Fox went on for actually 2 entire years until agreeable contract terms were drafted.
Somebody must mouth or sore.
Yeah, there was definitely some backroom negotiations going on in order to get this done, I think.
You said backroom negotiations.
Yes.
Is that like backdoor negotiations?
Well, we know that it was definitely filmed and that certain people perhaps were not able to speak at times. But
Why do you know so much about this?
I have my sources. My very reliable anonymous sources.
In San Francisco?
Well, actually, I think more in LA, since 20th Century Fox is based over here. Probably in West Hollywood, but yeah. Right. And so this was apparently done as part of an entire panel that was going on at the Tokyo International Anime Fair. And so I don't know about this entire script approval thing, because I noticed that it's just the studio in general, Sunrise Studios, that has the yay or nay on this project. It's not the director, interestingly enough. It's not the guys who wrote the story.
It's the person who pays the money who gets to say.
Right, it's a producer. Right. Well, actually, that is pretty normal for the entertainment industry.
Well, so is this maybe just a possibility for them to try to soak, you know, 20th Century Fox?
Right.
I'm not really feeling this script. There's more money. starting to feel a little more.
Yep. Yeah, the thing is that I'm not so sure they're going to necessarily have quality in mind, you know, as far as their script approval process is concerned. I mean, we don't know, of course, exactly what's going on. I mean, the thing is that Sunrise is big, sure, you know, in the anime world. They, after all, create Gundam, right?
Yes. Kinara Reef, ikimasu!
I would like to see him in a mecha anime, actually.
Oh my god.
I bet you would.
No, if he
involving tentacles?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Man, just to make this very clear, Ray brought this up when he said Keanu Reeves ikimasu, so
yeah.
I cleanse my hands of all blame.
If he casts as Amuro Ray, I'm totally burning down the Sunrise's Gundam Museum.
Now, the thing is that Sunrise may be big in the anime world, but compared to 20th Century Fox, I mean, that might be a more David and Goliath situation more than anything.
Well,
I mean,
actually, they make a lot of toys every year. They're one of the biggest.
Well, Bandai does. Bandai.
Oh, damn, you're right. It's Sunrise, not Bandai. Oh, there's a difference.
Yes, there is a difference.
Whoa.
Bandai may license and distribute every Sunrise show pretty much, but it is actually Bandai who actually makes the money, I think, for the most part, especially with the merchandising.
Right.
And so we don't know. I mean, it's quite possible 20th Century Fox will just force things through, you know, regardless, simply because of their scale and their size. Like, I bet if they wanted to give Spike a love interest other than Julia, I bet
force
a happy ending or something like that. I bet
since when does Hollywood not force things into people?
Exactly. Exactly.
Behind.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They've been doing that to us for years now here in the States with their crappy movies.
Yeah, well, so who knows how much say even Keanu Reeves has anything in anything, even though he was the one who brought this project to fruition.
This is what he said. This is what he said. Kenji, I know Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah. I'm going to be watching to see what happens with this story. We know this is the second time we've actually talked about this on this podcast. And so, you know, I almost regard this as a test case in a way, because Cowboy Bebop was almost conceived from the beginning as a relatively mainstream, especially Western mainstream friendly anime that is actually not as difficult to adapt to live action, I think, as some other shows. And so if this one doesn't work, I don't think that bodes well for the future of live action adaptations. After all, they've already just tried Dragon Ball. Look how well that fared.
Which may not be terrible. Which may not actually, in a way, it's like, I'm not so sure I want this to succeed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because if it becomes this mainstream thing where, like, every, you know, idiot and, you know, his brother is, oh, yeah, Cowboy Bebop is awesome. You know, like, have you heard about that new thing, Cowboy Bebop? It was made on about this anime. It was in Japan. Yeah. Ass munch. I only heard about it, like, how many years ago?
Yeah. So, yeah.
This is the geek's fantasy of not being bullied, or bullying the bully for once.
Yeah. Damn, I'm totally becoming the comic book guy from
Simpsons.
Simpsons.
Yeah.
Worst adaptation ever. Don't you know anything? As seen in episode 2 of Cowboy Bebop.
Well, we're on a podcast. I think we're already most of the way there to begin with, so why don't we go ahead and move on to the next news section?
All right. Oh, dear. You're going to affect us with your fashion sense now, Ikari Mike Gendo?
Why, yes. In fact, I authorized this particular piece of merchandise.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because after all, even fanboys need love too, apparently. We all know, of course, that for some inexplicable reason, anime fanboys have a panty fetish. Well, it's time for some equal time here, because we're not going to be talking about female pantsu today on this particular news item. The Japanese word for pantsu can actually mean men's underwear as well as women's underwear, you see. Yep. And so today we are going to be talking about Evangelion boxer shorts.
Yummy!
Yes. This news item comes from everybody's favorite news source, Senkaku Complex. For those needing fashion more intimately EVA-related than the recent EVA 01 watch, help is at hand in the form of manly EVA boxers.
Oh.
Sure to cement the 2D preferences of the wearer in a similar fashion to a chastity belt.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, all I gotta do is just read this story. This is as it's written by none other than Lincoln Street. That's the name of the author. Japanese company Movic, who you could see in the credits in some of the various Evangelion shows and movies, has announced that they are introducing a new line of manly underpants based on the Evangelion series aptly called A Man's Battle.
Oh. Wow.
The underwear comes in two sizes, medium, 76 to 84 centimeters, or large, 84 to 94 centimeters.
And the custom design, large crutch. I'm wearing.
That feels really powerful.
There are six designs in the set, which are Nerve, Sele, Angel Monogram, Yugoiteyo, I'm not sure what that is, Six Angel, and Nigecha Dame, I Mustn't Run Away.
That's why you're wearing.
Movic suggests on their site that the I Mustn't Run Away pantsu would be appropriate for gaining confidence when trying to face work stress, a date, test, or similar.
Well, you got an angel in your pants, I guess it'll help.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, you forgot to, I don't know. I just have one comment. Seriously. Is that a long and a spear in your pants? Or are you just happy to see me?
Yeah.
I don't know. You really have to be an otaku to get that joke.
Yes, apparently, especially an Eva otaku. Yep. Presumably, a quick glance at the Pansu during a moment of stress or on a date will power up the wearer. Yeah, I'm sure it would.
Engage with your Pansu now.
I don't know.
It's some mental images that just aren't right that I really should vocalize. I really should vocalize. We'll move on.
Yeah. The Pansu are being sold at 525 yen a piece, or 3,150 yen for the whole set. So yes, they are actually rather expensive for boxers. But that's what you pay for when it's official Nerve merchandise. Because I want to preserve my margins after all, so.
That's what you have to pay to get into the Eva Pansu.
That's right.
get into Eva's Pansu? Which
one? That's actually really, really, really wrong now that I think about it. Yeah. Now, if you take that literally and such. And finally, Lincoln Street concludes with a rather interesting statement. Probably anyone wearing these will not be helping their chances with the opposite sex. Not that many considering them will consider this a serious disadvantage. True words were never spoken.
Yeah. I think my favorite design set is the Nigetsu Damai. I mustn't run away. No, please stop. No. This never happens. I mean, usually it doesn't happen.
How did I get here? This is not my beautiful house or my beautiful wife.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, this is
Can you imagine a rapist wearing it and he looks at his underwear and says, "Okay, I'm actually not going to run away." That would be terrible, dude.
Right. You could write an entire sequel to, I don't know, what is it? Densha Otoko. But even more otaku-ish than before. Yeah. I think they've already scraped the bottom of the barrel years ago as far as Evangelion marketing goes. But at least here, they're giving some equal time. Somehow, they need to throw these out at the next con, just like they were throwing out women's panties at the ADV booth all those years ago for Najika. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Gainax should come to AX and start throwing them out. Yeah, and see what the fan reaction is. But, in either case, why don't we go ahead and move on to the next news item, unless we have any parting thoughts about these pieces of underwear.
No, they're on your head.
Oh. Yeah. All right, let's go. And finally, we already talked once about the people petitioning to marry 2D characters, 2D girls, in Japan. Some otaku were just so fed up with the real world and so fed up with 3D women that they really want to marry 2D women. One particular one wanted to marry Mikaru. Well, apparently, even 2D women are not good enough for certain folks out there.
See, it's that sliding slope. You start going down the 2D route, and it goes to furries and all this other crazy crap that just ain't right. It ain't natural, I'm telling you. It ain't natural.
Since we've already expanded the boundary of natural quite a bit by even talking about marrying 2D characters, I suppose I had to go down one more notch in this particular case. Once again, this comes from Sankaku Complex. A man who approached an online Q&A service asking how he might rein in his passionate love for a certain Pokemon. Wow. Let me read that again. It is a Pokemon, not a girl in the Pokemon universe, but a Pokemon.
I don't know. When you start talking about passionate love for Pokemon, just the words Pokemon, like Pokemon star.
Pokemon?
No, Pokemon. Monster. Pokemonster.
Okay, one country's accent. When you say mon, that's the way they say man.
Oh. Yeah. Pokemon.
Yeah, totally. But in Japan, it's short for monster.
I know.
Do I have to spell it out as pocket monster?
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's even worse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your thing. Like, he wants a little monster in his pocket.
Yippee!
That's right.
Don't we all?
Oh. Oh. Yeah. Oh, Ray.
Well, he wants to perhaps turn it into mere platonic affection, because he's disturbed by his newfound stirring of feelings. And he has been roundly reassured that falling in love with a fictional 2D animal is perfectly acceptable.
They're not even animals.
No, they're monsters.
I know.
They're monsters. That's what the mon stands for in Pokemon, after all. And then there's Itsukaku Complex actually reprints this entire exchange that he had online. And this is apparently an online Q&A service. It doesn't mention whether it's actually an otaku one, like Tuchan, or something like that. It seems to be a mainstream Japanese one, it seems. And apparently he is careful to protect the identity of which Pokemon that he is in love with.
Yeah. If he really does want a pocket monster, it would just be disturbing to see, like, Pikachu coming out of someone's pants and going, Pikachu!
Gotta collect them all!
Gotta catch them all!
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was thinking Chi Pokemon.
Chin Pokemon.
He's gotta collect them all, but yes, he's gotta catch them all.
That's right. This does bring that South Park episode to mind, indeed. Yes. Chin Pokemon. If you know what Chin Poko actually means. Right. And so that.
Yes.
Actually, right. And we won't explain that. Go look it up, kids.
Actually, kids, don't go look it up. The kids can stay away from that, too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, they should probably be staying away from this podcast, to tell you the truth. But.
Probably. I think this one's going to have to have an NC-17 on it.
Yeah.
Especially when Mike actually tells a good joke.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know, I just reserve my humor, you know, just for the very best situations. And look out when I do it, you know. It's like thermonuclear war. I just love some of the responses that this guy got for his query. You know, loving the 2D is not strange at all. 2D is something you associate with reality. I feel the same way. It's okay. If only that Pokemon were real, I'd... ...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This one's more normal. First, turn off the goddamn machine, then go out and start your journey to find a charming person.
I see. I think that person is actually normal, but yeah. God, and then this is the best one of all, apparently. I've heard that amongst anime fans, there are those who actually want to marry 2D characters. And Pokemon Lover replies to this, there are people like that out there? Then maybe it's nothing to worry about at all then. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So, there's another couple freakish people out there, then, I guess that makes me pretty normal.
Actually, I think on this sliding scale, the people who are in love with the 2D girls are actually probably one notch above loving a non-human 2D approximation of a cute monster. I don't know how to describe them exactly.
Yeah.
Of indeterminate gender, I might add.
I also just had another thought that while I thought Pikachu popping onto somebody's pants were really disturbing, I think Squirtle popping on. Squirtle! Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle,
Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle,
Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle,
Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle, Squirtle. Well, for the particular gentleman who submitted these questions, you know, I pray for your anonymity. I pray for that one day you will not be found out, especially by any future female love interests in actual life that you might ever have, and that your IP address cannot be tracked down. Because just like the man who was caught throwing away his Dutch wife from the other week, you do not ever want to have to explain this to your friends and your family one day.
Don't worry,
so
I'm
please.
Not
going to
hurt you.
Anyway, that's it for our news items today. Why don't we go ahead and move on to our mailbag section.
Squirtle, Squirtle! Mail, 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 mail. Piro di paro piro ra.
We have a record number of comments here for our mailbag section. So thank you, everybody who's listening and who's decided to leave some mail for us in this episode. You know, you're all wonderful and great, even if you don't necessarily like the things you heard, as apparently a number of you didn't. And so,
Mike, do the female violin laugh.
And
I just sound like a buffoon. Well, what's
that's because that's what I am. That's because that's who I am.
Did you say buffoon or baboon?
Baboon.
You said buffoon.
Shit.
That was awesome.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a number of you are returning commenters, right, of course, and but some of you are also new. And we welcome both kinds of mail, of course. And so,
as Mike does,
I welcome everybody. Yes.
Welcomes both kinds of mail.
Kado game!
All right, guys, you got me.
Wrong in two ways. Wrong in two ways. Grammar way and the other way.
Oh, dear, guys. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our first piece of mail from SMX. This is nice and sweet and simple. Hello, new listener. I like your podcast. I'm going to be listening for a long time. We hope you do. We hope you do very much, and so thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome.
All right, and this one, it comes from third-time commenter KitsuneGirl28. Ooh. Yep, you really do seem to like us. And that's good. Oh, God, you guys are going to make me die laughing. Well, that's our job, isn't it? Well, I think it's mostly the other guys who are probably causing a lot of the laughter, mostly at my expense, apparently. But just to point out, I do like BL of all kinds. An anime I kind of didn't like was DMC. Uh-oh, Ray.
Oi, oi, oi. I'm gonna go there and get masochistic on you.
That feels really powerful.
It was funny, but at the same time, creepy. Sorry, guys. Well, you know, to each your own. You know, that's... I can sort of understand that.
I could actually agree with that, though.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Right.
It's actually really creepy.
Yeah.
BL is creepy.
In certain views, yeah. And I apologize for the rape comment I made in my last comment. Nah, it's all right. It's... We know what you really meant, you know?
It's a joke.
We know what you really meant, and I'm not going to explain that any further. But, and what's the stereotype for the older brother?
Wait, you got to read that correctly.
I'm curious. What's the stereotype for the older brother? Well, I thought you would be, considering you're actually into BL, I thought you would be actually pretty familiar with some of their shoujo archetypes for Oni-chans. I mean, I don't know how to explain this, actually.
Blonde
without
hair, blue eyes, in the anime sort of way. You know,
sparkles.
That's the first thing you said, Mike, that sounded made you sound completely less gay. That's awesome. You're like, I don't know how to explain it, because, you know, I don't really watch it that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we know that's not what you meant, so.
I mean, yeah, it's basically, he's typically a bishonen. I mean, that's all I really know. I mean, it's very different from the Oni-chans in harem anime.
Oh.
But where it's a male fantasy, and it's really more a fantasy about the little sister. And just to make it absolutely clear, we do not see you that way, Kitsune Girl. We do not see you that way.
I think basically it's just the reverse. It's the same concept, but it's just the reverse perspective.
Right. Right.
It's basically the guy is fantasizing in those about that. Like he's, you know, and basically or basically they create the situation between the characters, which in a way is really disturbing.
Yeah.
But you know,
I mean, you fantasize about that.
No. I don't even have a sister, so there you go.
Well, it is a fantasy I think concocted by people who don't have sisters. So.
Yeah, because to really think that, you messed up, dude. You sick.
Well.
You really sick.
Well, as I think that was first said by, what's his face? Sasahara.
Sasahara. Again, Shiken. He says, you guys who don't have sisters don't know what it's about, what it's like.
Right, exactly.
He hates his sister.
Yeah.
Well, I think just the thing is it's someone that idolizes the older brother, like, to the point that that's their perfect ideal for someone they want. Someone like their older brother.
Or me.
Are you? Yes.
Absolutely. Most girls do Ray. Idolize Ray. So it, it's a given.
In his dreams. Notice my voice is starting to deepen.
Yes.
Sexy.
I don't know if you guys know, but he does have a new microphone. So.
Oh yes.
In his pants.
Finally. This is my reaction to those punk songs. What the hell was that? I mean, to classify as punk as, well, just not okay, no okay? Yeah, well, yeah, agreed. And so, I'm 16. How big is there of an age difference or deference, as spelled, between us? I'm not going to say my age. That's a he, me, too. But I'll just say, yeah, quite a bit. Yeah, so
a lot. We could be your young uncles, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so so yeah, that's just to answer that question honestly. Love you all, and looking forward to your next podcast, Kitsune Girl 28. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. The third comment is from new commenter, though I've seen him around on the web and elsewhere, Omisith from the United Kingdom. Thanks for sharing the punk rock CD. Really, it was awesome. I loved it. Smells like 9x platinum. I don't know how to take. I don't know how ironic you were being there, actually. So, yeah. I mean, there is definitely something of a sick fascination that I have when I listen to it. I mean, I can't call it good, but at the same time, it's just weirdly entertaining to listen to on some level, right? I mean,
somewhat. Almost.
You like bleeding ears. I mean,
yeah.
First one was instant classic. Sex and violence.
Okay, Ray, you need to stop that, or else it's gonna get it. Yeah.
Or you're gonna receive some violence. Yeah.
All right.
And to which he also adds, "You just gained and lost a listener from a single podcast. Never slight the UK. Tongue sticking out." And
I thought the British are humorous.
No.
Oh, God.
Yeah, bullocks to that. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are serious. Wow. You're serious about being freedom and freedom of speech and everything. Oh, yeah. Wow.
What's up with that?
You came in smoking your own cars. Wow, okay, you guys are serious. I'm sorry. I apologize, man.
Yeah, well, yeah. What can you expect from a country that brought you Monty Python?
Hey, I love Monty Python.
I'm just kidding. I love Monty Python.
I put Monty Python in every podcast, you know? That's during the roundtable music. That's, and so, no, I don't think we really meant any real slight. It's
No. Just a 10-second reference. My friend Jamie from Scotland basically told me about some of the very freedom-preventing things that United Kingdom has been doing. So, you know, it's kind of sad. But anyway.
Dude, it's happening here in California, too. So, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's right. We're not exactly exempt from criticism either, you know. So, it's not like... So, yeah, I mean, we don't mean any particular... animus. I hope not. Anyway, we do hope you will come back anyway, because it seems
he's
to
joking. Come on, he's got the little sticky tongue out thing. You guys are taking him too serious. Come on, just because the Brits have dry humor, you gotta take him serious.
Yeah.
I was playing along with. I thought you were like joking, but I just realized you're taking him serious.
Okay, now I apologize, Omisith. I apologize. I forgot dry humor. I apologize. My apologies.
Actually, that does seem to be implied by the following paragraph after that. One question. Will you be having any discussions about recent anime, i.e. past couple of seasons of the podcast? If not, that's cool. The current formula is great anyway.
Yeah, duh.
Well, then again, that seems to imply, of course, that you will be listening again. And number two, the answer to your question is yes. Because, as you are about to hear in this following roundtable section. So, yes.
All right, yes. Cool.
Hey, moving on. Hey, can I read some?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think people might be tired of listening to me talk, and so I want to talk more.
Yes, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, God. I'd rather watch Final Fantasy Unlimited than listen to that. Phantom. Simple and straight to the point. I agree with you. Phantom Fantasy.
Yeah, Final Fantasy Phantom.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Actually, what's funny, actually, I talked to a guy the other night who's into anime, and or says he was, but like he was like, yeah, I just bought Final Fantasy Unlimited. I'm like, yeah, have fun with that. like, okay, that'll be, I think you'll be very happy with your purchase. Moving on to Alice. I think Moe would smell like burnt sugar. Hmm. Nice. I really want to put that like on my Facebook, so I'm gonna totally steal that, Alice.
yeah.
Sweet at first, but later your nose just hurts and you have to open a window. Awesome.
That's a very nice and vivid image, Alice.
That is incredible. I think out of all of our comments, I think that is one for the books.
Yes.
There's a reason why punk/grunge is not Moe, and that CD is why. Cutesy plus dark equals scary and disgusting.
Ooh. Hey, it worked for Higurashi.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. Exactly. Proof, case in point.
Yeah.
Okay. Good thing there's a stop button, or I would have to suffer through the whole song. Did you actually put the whole song on there?
No, I only put like 30 seconds of each song.
I think people were actually thinking the whole song was on there. So.
No.
She got the CD. She probably got the CD.
Oh, did she get the CD?
Either that or I actually put a link in the show notes to all the YouTube videos, like the playlist with all the songs on it.
Hmm.
So you could listen to the whole thing if you wanted.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's right.
So that's probably it. Yeah. That's and yeah, it would I really like that description of Moe, Alice. Yeah, I think that's definitely. Very fitting.
Definitely. Yeah. Please comment again. We like your ideas and would like to subscribe
to your newsletter.
Yeah. Oh no, wait. We're intrigued by your ideas.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. That's a line from The Simpsons.
Maybe she should write
it. She should start her own rival. No, no.
No, no, no.
No, no, not at all. Sorry. that comment really sucked, I think. I'm sorry, Alice. We can't have you commenting on her.
Just all right. Kidding.
All right. That's pretty much all the comments. 5 commenters. Keep it up. Let's get 10 next time, at least 10. And so if you have a comment that you want to...
Jimerson.
Yes. And so if you have a comment that you want to leave for this particular episode, either comment under the post or send your email to editor@animediet.net. Then we will post and respond to your comment on the air. And so don't be afraid. Don't be scared. We won't humiliate you too much. So why don't we go ahead and move on to our roundtable, our anime-related roundtable. Yes, Omi Sith.
Let's do.
We're at the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call a scene to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
And finally, we always conclude with a roundtable, and yes, this is going to be a roundtable about anime.
We're nice
about
the round
actual table. Show.
Woohoo!
Yes. We're not going to be torturing your ears anymore with Seiyu's lamely trying to be punks or discussing some serious issues about various other items which will cause us to all feel really depressed. No, today we're going to be talking about a fan service anime. Yes, folks, a fan service anime, namely Asu no Yoichi, Tomorrow's Yoichi, which just came out this season and it's actually almost over, if I recall. I believe the most recent episode that was released is episode 11. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I actually was surprisingly entertained by this show. I don't normally like shows of this genre, you have to understand. I usually either cast a wide berth from them, or I just don't even give them much of a chance. But for some reason, this one struck me as being more likable and more interesting than the run of them. I mean, I'm not going to call it a masterpiece or all that original, but I just thought it was pretty watchable. I mean, how about you guys?
I don't know. I mean, I watched up to episode 7, just to let you all know, but I think it's like Kenshin preaching. It's like Kenshin, and you have the other guy who's like the guy with the aku on his back, whatever his name is.
Actually, I really kind of see the similarity with the main character, Yoichi, and Kenshin. They're both kind of idealistic samurai types with very high codes of honor and things like that, and they're all very
cheerful. And preachy, too!
Yeah, they're very cheerful, and they are rather given to preach. Yes, I agree. Though, I think that's balanced by some of the humor in this show, just as it was in the original Kenshin TV series. I'm not talking about the OVA, of course. The OVA is very serious. It's one of my favorite OVAs of all time, actually. But But yeah, I could actually sort of see the similarity if Kenshin were a harem show, which this one certainly assuredly is.
Sagura. Yeah. Sanosuke.
That's it. Yes, Sagura.
Sanosuke. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
No, you mean you're a crack team of researchers.
Right, you're a crack team of monkeys typing out Shakespeare?
Yeah. Me pulling out of my ass crack looking at Wikipedia. Is that... Well. Anyhow. Yeah, no, I think the show actually... it's a popcorn anime. It's fun. It's, you know, boobage, cleavage, samurais, wacky fight sequences... You know, unbelievable setups, multifaceted love triangles. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Actually,
love polygons.
Love polygons. Thank you. That's actually, I should know that. Our kids are learning about geometry right now, so I should actually have used that term readily. yeah, love polygons, indeed. And it was well received at our anime club. People, didn't know what to expect. Oh, some people are like, oh, another harem anime, you know, this and that and the other. But it, you know, it's just, it generally is fun. I think there was only one person that didn't like it, and she was a girl and probably just a little stuffed up about that sort of stuff. So, with all the boobage and cleavage and stuff. So, yeah.
You know, yeah, but she would have been happy if it's a bunch of guys.
Yeah. We like, you know.
Well,
big packages bouncing around, you know, I mean, you know, all girls like that. You know, size does
huge
matter.
Swords? With huge swords?
Oh, it's silly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Yep. Bigger, in fact, mine. But thank God.
That's why I wear extra size pants.
Yeah, and so, I mean, actually, in terms of fan service, it's actually relatively mild compared to totally. other types of shows I could name right off the bat. Though, actually, some of the later episodes, they actually do seem to up it a little bit.
Hope so.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a particular opening scene that I think Senkaku Complex actually featured because it was so kinky. It has something to do with popsicles. Apparently.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I haven't seen that episode yet. I want to see that episode now.
I laughed so hard at that, and my wife was with me.
Yeah, and so the thing is that they do that apparently sometimes in the very beginning, but that doesn't necessarily reflect the rest of the episode at all.
Right.
It's a teaser. It's a way to get you to watch the show. And
bait and switch?
Yeah, it's a bait. Yeah, kind of a bait and switch. Yeah.
I really don't want to talk about switch baiting, but anyhow...
oh dear,
a bait and switching. Sorry. Yeah. let's just leave that alone.
Yeah. And so basically, it's not all that special, really. I mean, it's I guess we can just go ahead and talk about very elemental matters, like which girl is your favorite.
Can we legally answer that question? Because most of these girls are way underage. No,
they're 2D. We can't marry them, really. I think actually, out of all the girls, you're supposed to. It's kind of interesting because the pairing, actually the main pairing, Yoichi and with Yoichi, is pretty clear from the very beginning.
Okay. Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's not. There isn't really any genuine competition. It's kind of like Love Hina in that regard. You know, you don't have much doubt who he's going to be ending up with by the end.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's. The show is not that complicated.
Right.
I mean, it's really simple, but funny.
Right. You know? I mean, I think the funniest character actually is that other guy. The other... Yeah. I mean, especially like his little fantasy sequences. I thought those were absolutely hilarious. And all of his misdirected attempts to try to woo Ibuki, if that's the main girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, those parts really reminded me of School Rumble, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Because school,
he's just like Harima Kenji.
He is a lot like Kenji, exactly, and especially when you have misunderstanding piled upon misunderstanding piled upon misunderstanding. That was School Rumble's trademark. And
no question.
Yeah,
I read something online about apparently, and I don't remember in the anime if they call it any of this, but apparently in the manga, those little visions that he has is called the Washizu Fantasy Channel.
That's even better than Washizu Vision. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it Washizu Vision?
In the fan sub, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that Washizu Fantasy Channel. That's awesome.
That's even better, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I felt that those were very well-timed and well-handled comedy bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that girl also does it, though? Like this...
yeah, the other...
Works at the restaurant.
Right, the one that has a crush on Yoichi. Yeah.
No,
not on Yoichi, but no.
Washizu.
Yeah, Washizu. Yeah, yeah. That's it. Yeah. My bad. But, yeah, the thing is that it's, you don't want to go into it looking for originality or looking for anything more than one of those things where you turn off your brain and eat it and watch it at lunch or dinner. Like, you know.
I think you say turn off your brain and eat it.
Yeah, it's because, you know, sometimes it does feel like you're eating your brain when you watch a really dumb show, you know. At least I don't find this show insultingly bad the way, like, some shows can be. Like, I don't know, like Akikan, which is not only really badly written, but it also happens to be insultingly badly animated.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, because at least Asuno Yoichi is pretty well animated, in my opinion.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You know what this show kind of reminds me of? Without the story complexity and, you know, staying power, but it kind of reminds me of Strongest Disciple Kenichi.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I think there's some similar elements.
Because there's martial arts and there's a little action alongside the hijinks.
Well, yeah, it's kind of, but like, you know, basically, and it has similar types of characters. Mm-hmm. You know, a various and sundry group of characters with their own agendas and reasonings and, you know, mm-hmm. interactive relationships between them, you know. By the way, the character you were mentioning earlier, the girl that has a crush on Washizu, is Tsubasa.
Right.
Just her way of converting to, like, her original way of, like, getting into, like, her ability to fight is ridiculous. Like, basically, when her clothes are ripped off, so she's embarrassed that she goes into, like, you know, zombie android fighting mode, just like, yeah, brainwashed fighting mode, I guess.
Yeah. It's the power of Minaide Hazukashi.
So, yeah, question, that's... though. Back to the favorite characters. Yeah. I just have to say Chihaya.
I agree. Actually, I was about to say that she was my favorite girl out of all of them, actually. Yeah, that was... I actually really kind of liked the episode that centered around her. She doesn't get enough screen time, in my opinion. Oh. She's very much on the side, you know, for the most of the show.
Well, she's a typical otaku that's very confident, though. And then she basically is very frank about certain things. She actually messes with Yoichi and, like, you know, pretends like she, you know, wants to...
But of course, Yoichi, being who he is, just ends up, like, preaching at her.
Right, I know. How realistic, right?
Yeah.
But is it disturbing if I say Kagome?
Not necessarily. Personality-wise, I guess. To totally go against my further original statement. But, so, do we recommend this show?
Bearing in mind what you're expecting, I think, yeah, you can recommend it for those who can tolerate fan service, who like slapstick comedy, who like, you know, especially like these kinds of character designs and these kind of girls, I think. Because actually, I find the character designs to be pretty appealing. I actually like it. It's the way it's drawn. So,
Don't show it to your girlfriends. Don't show it to your moms. Don't show it to your grandmother. And show it to all your male relatives, and I think they will like it.
That goes for any show with significant amounts of fan service, of course.
Yeah, I think you have to know. Well, you have to know, like, who the people are. There's obviously exceptions. Like, people actually at my anime club, very mixed. Like I said, other than like one person, everybody seemed to pretty much enjoy it. Mm. Like, people had a good time watching it. My wife actually likes the show.
Oh, so, wow.
Right. As well as one of my friend's wives, who actually had been in the past kind of a little standoffish on those sort of things. So, I would say, from my point of view, it scores high enough on the fun meter to, like, just, you know, kick back, turn off your brain, not really kind of worry about all the little things of it, of how it's stereotypical.
Right.
Because I think there's enough little interesting quirks about it of its own, things in a way it takes that genre and just kind of makes it its own in its own little way.
Right. So. Yeah, definitely. All right, then. Well, without any further ado, this has been the conclusion of Anime Diet Radio episode number 34. I'm your host, Michael Hong.
And this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei. Stay cool, my friends.
And this is Jeremy from Redondo Beach, for some reason, who suddenly feels like eating waffles and watching Lost.
See you guys next time.